1, 2, 3.
Listen.
Welcome to the Dotcast from Nine Dots. Nine Dots is the online learning community for wedding photographers, and you can find out all about everything we do at 9-dots.co. Hello everyone, and welcome back to this episode of the Dotcast. I'm Adam Johnson, one of the co-founders of Nine Dots, along with the brilliant Andy Gaines and the wonderful Rahul Kona. In this series of Dotcast episodes, I wanted to chat to photographers from the Nine Dots community about art and business. And today's episode with Liverpool-based Steve Walker definitely falls more on the business side. Although, if you check out Steve's work, you'll see he's equally good at the art side of things. You'll hear how Steve is a fan of Gary Vee and that hustle mentality, and we will talk about work-life balance and some of the tactics Steve used in the early days to build his business. We also talk about the word hustle and how it can be a positive or a negative concept. On the one hand, encouraging a strong attitude to working hard, but on the other hand, encouraging people to overwork or burn themselves out. It made me think back to when I saw two posts pop up on an Instagram account that I follow, which shares interesting quotes from interesting people. The first was a quote from Roald Dahl, who apparently once said, "If you're interested in something, no matter what it is, go at it full speed ahead. Embrace it with both arms, hug it, love it, and above all, become passionate about it. Lukewarm is not good, hot is no good either. White hot and passionate is the only thing to be." Inspirational stuff from Roald. This, though, was instantly followed by a post with a quote from Bob Marley, who apparently once said, "The day you stop racing is the day you win the race." I loved the humour and the balance between these two quotes. Two people who arguably achieved massive success in their own fields, based on their own personal definitions of success, with two very different approaches to achieving that success. Definitely food for thought there. And it also gave me a good laugh when I saw it. But bear in mind that you need to find the way of working which suits you. Are you more Bob or are you more Roald? Steve shares more golden nuggets of wisdom in this episode than I think he even realised. And no matter what stage of your career you're at, I think you'll get something out of what Steve has to say. Any comments or suggestions for the Dotcast, or if you want to ask a question which we'll answer during a future episode, drop us a message on Instagram or Facebook, or you can email us hello@9-dots.co. We always say at 9 Dots that your mindset is just as important as your skill set, and a lot of what you hear in this episode will back that up, I think, when you hear how hard Steve's worked to get his business to the point it is now in just a few short years since leaving the Royal Air Force. And I'll leave you with this one more quote from Miles Davis before I let Steve take over. Anybody can play, the note is only 20%. The attitude of the person who plays it is 80%. Enjoy the episode. Knowing me, Adam Johnson, knowing you, Steve Walker. Aha.
Aha.
Yes, correct response. I'm testing that out on people. How are you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing good.
How do you feel about podcasts in general?
Good question. I think they're good.
All right, great. Thanks for that answer.
Yeah. Next, we move on. Now, like, I spend a lot of time like walking my dog, and I do a lot of driving, as you'll know, as a wedding photographer, and they're just good to have on. I just think it's like I'm one of these people that loves to always like learn new things, whether it's, you know, working on like my business or just in general, just like just picking up stuff along the way. So. No, I equally love listening to music, but I'll find myself like listening to music in the car thinking, oh, I should put a podcast on, and I think I'm not too bothered. But then if I actually do it, I really like enjoy it and think, why didn't I put this on earlier? Like, I'm really loving this, do you know what I mean? But that's the only time I ever listen to them, really, because I do like to, if I'm listening to it, I want to get like a return off it. So I like making sure I'm in an environment where I can listen and absorb it, you know?
Are you a regular Nine Dots Dotcast listener?
I am.
Good.
It's nice. They're quite short and sweet as well, aren't they? So it's just like, just nice to know, with it being quite a solitary job, just to see how other people are getting on. Because you can see what people post on Facebook and people are posting images on Instagram. So you know people are taking over and doing stuff. But especially during the pandemic, it's just nice to hear people are, you know, what you're up to, what your thoughts are. And like from your actual voices, you know, bouncing off each other and stuff.
Because we talk about people being in the same boat, and I don't want these episodes of the Dotcast to be too like pandemic heavy, but it's nice to, I suppose, hear that people are in the same boat and maybe thinking some of the same things that you are as well. So I like podcasts for that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're good. Just they're good for like support, for feeling better, for learning. You know, I think I spoke to Rahul once, and he mentioned about if he listened to a podcast while he was in the car, he'd fall asleep. So I don't think he listens to him while he's driving, but I love listening to him when I'm driving because it kills the time for me and picks stuff up along the way.
Yeah, it wouldn't be ideal to fall asleep while driving, would it?
No.
It's good because you mentioned one thing that is kind of part of the reason that I wanted to chat to you on here, but when you talked about getting a return off stuff, so I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Because you listen to a lot of audiobooks as well, don't you, for that kind of reason of, like, you like to maximise your time.
But I just feel like if I was to sit down and read an actual book, like, I'm sort of quite of a 100 miles an hour type guy, so if I'm doing one thing, I feel like I'm missing out on something else and that I should be doing that, and, you know, it's not the greatest sort of skill set to have, being 100 miles an hour, but, you know, it does have its pros. But I think I listen to audiobooks because there's books I want to read and I just think I haven't got the time to sit down and read that. So if I'm driving in the car, I'll stick an audiobook on, or, you know, if I'm walking the dog, I'll stick one on.
And would that be your first choice rather than listening to music?
Yeah, it sort of depends on the environment, like what I'm doing, but or how I'm feeling. But more often than not, yeah, if I'm walking the dog, I'll put a podcast on over listening to music, I think.
Nice. Well, have you got any recommendations, podcasts for the listeners of the Dotcast? Other podcasts, obviously. This is my favourite one.
Yeah, well, I like listening to Gary Vee, as you well know. Yeah. I know some people think he's a bit too, you know, raw, in-your-face type thing, but, you know, I'm not going to start, like, not kissing his ass, but what I'm saying is that he knows what he's doing and he can provide a lot of value. The way in which he delivers it can be perceived as quite, you know, raw and strong, like I just said. But I think if you just listen to it and just try and absorb it in your own way, there's loads you can take from it. You know what I mean? Because we all want to be like super successful, or we all want to, you know, and whatever that means to each individual success, whether that means just booking just a couple of weddings a year because you just like shooting weddings, or you've got a super high mortgage and you need to absolutely nail all your bookings and stuff. But we've all got somewhere we want to reach, and because he's got somewhere he wants to reach, and obviously it's exaggerated and much bigger. I think you can just sort of, I think his overall point is just that, like, if you want something, just work hard and it'll come, you know what I mean? So it's what I like listening to him for, is because I find it quite inspiring when he talks to people, and people are like, I'm struggling with this. And he's like, you know, he'll go, well, stop playing this and stop doing that and work. And it's like, all right, mate, calm down. But if you just take a step back and reverse engineer it, he's just saying, listen, if you want it, just work hard and try this, and don't just give it, try it, and if it doesn't work, that doesn't work for me, try harder and try different ways. And it just encourages me just to sort of just keep up my marketing. And, you know, I want to do well and provide for my family. So I just find it quite inspiring, really, in that sense. But after I've sort of translated it into my own way.
For anyone who doesn't know, Gary Vee is Gary Vaynerchuk. Is his podcast just called the Gary Vee podcast?
Yeah, he's pretty content mad, isn't he? I think it's the Gary Vee audio experience or whatever. If you type in Gary Vee into the podcast thing, it'll come up, and for sure, you know, but he's all over YouTube and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's a bit Marmite, isn't he? He can go one way or the other. He can either really trigger you and you can go off him very quickly, or you can find him quite inspiring. No, that's good. That's a good recommendation. So let's talk a bit more about weddings first. We met in 2017, was it? 2017 at the Gathering. And that was kind of your first, towards the end of your first year doing wedding photography, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why did you choose to be a wedding photographer?
Well, I shot families first. That was like when I first bought a camera and I was like getting handy with it, and some friends and family and or whatever asked me to do some photos of the kids and stuff. And I started just making a bit of money on the side doing like family photography. And then when someone asked me if I'd do, one of my mates asked me if I'd do their wedding, I did it. And I didn't really like the pressure of it, really. I didn't enjoy it at all. But after the sort of, when I started thinking I was going to leave my full-time job, I wanted something a bit more secure, and I thought maybe wedding photography might be a bit more secure with how you can book in advance, whereas the family photography was like, you know, how much you're going to earn in 8 months' time, like, you don't know. But in wedding photography, you can book up in advance. So I just decided to try and do more weddings. So I got in touch with some website guys and thought I'll try and create a wedding website and go down that route, and I've loved it ever since.
Nice, man. So it was more like you wanted to be a photographer, and you saw the the business element of wedding photography as being more attractive than the kind of the data that the almost like the month to month, not knowing where the money's coming from, if you're going to stick to something like family photography.
Yeah. It wasn't specifically like weddings and brides and moments that drew me in. Initially, it was more like the job security thing, because I was getting sort of feeling a bit stale in my full-time job, and I was going to start a family in my old job. I was in the Royal Air Force and I was getting sent away quite a lot, and I wanted a bit more stability at home and, you know, with raising a family and not going away for like 4 months at a time. So it was quite appealing to sort of find a job that I could, something that I love doing first of all, and something that was a bit more secure. And I just thought, I do love shooting families, but it's not as secure as weddings. So I just moved across and just loved weddings. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so let's just backtrack 1 second. Because I mean, RAF sounds cool, but I feel like calling it the Royal Air Force makes it sound exceptionally cool. But why does somebody who's in the RAF, it just seems a very strange jump of careers to go from the RAF to wedding photography. So why, I mean, there's a lot of, we know quite a lot of wedding photographers, don't we, within the Nine Dots community who come from military backgrounds.
Sure.
There must be some kind of attraction. This must be something that happens to you in the military that makes you think that weddings is the next like stepping stone on the ladder to success.
I think there's obviously my role in the Air Force was nothing to do with photography, but being in the military and having that sort of original training to sort of, you know, be quite sort of particular and like work hard and be disciplined and stuff like that. I think when I had the opportunity to sort of get into photography more, I maybe transferred some of those, like, you know, I really wanted to make it work. So I transitioned some skills over, but only in sort of like, you know, working hard and trying to sort of really achieve my goal. But like the other photographers that we know that are in the military or ex-military, sorry, who is that? There's probably
four or five that I can think of off the top of my head. It's funny, and they're all quite what I would call quite single-minded and focused. And do you think that's something that comes from being in the military?
Yeah, I think so. It's just that, like, you know, I can't speak for non-military people, but, you know, when you get put on a task, it has to be completed. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I just give myself stuff to do and just make sure it happens. But going back to what you said originally about, you know, how did I end up being from the military to a photographer? There's nothing really other than the fact that I just love taking pictures, and I wanted to get out of the military because I'd done 16 years. So it was something that I really wanted to leave, not because I hated it, just because of just where it was going. And I just felt a bit stale, and the whole family thing, like I said, and, you know, wanting to get out and do something for myself.
It's all good reasons. So you mentioned that you love weddings now. What is your favorite thing about weddings and being a wedding photographer?
I think I'm a creative at heart, and I think I always have been. Like, I remember like getting Photoshop on my computer, like when it came out, but a long time ago. And I used to just love messing on there and stuff. And I like doing art at school, and, you know, I just like being creative in loads of different aspects, really. So, you know, wedding photography gives me a very good reason to engage my creative brain quite a lot and try new things and learn new things creatively. I've been lucky enough that even in the short career that I've had so far, that I've had a really good opportunity to travel with it as well. What else?
That's fine. There's two things. I only asked you for one: creativity and travel. No, it's good. It's fine. And what about, what do you not like about the lifestyle of a wedding photographer?
The lifestyle of a wedding photographer?
After the fact that, you know, we realised that the industry came to a halt.
Yeah, I don't like that the industry came to a halt. I've got two kids, haven't I? And they're like 2 and 4, so they're not in school yet. So, and I absolutely love being a dad. It's so much fun. And I'm sort of not looking forward to the idea of like being away at weekends and stuff, which I'm sure is quite, I don't know if it's a cliche answer, but like, I'm sure there's a lot of photographers that's something that's not one of the nice things about the job, you know? So, but the other side to that, which I always say to people, because some people go, oh, you work weekends, but, you know, like a normal 9-to-5 guy or whatever, who like, or girl, who finishes work at like 5 in the office in the city and then gets home at like 4:30 and then they've got to have tea. And then they might have some downtime with the kids, but then, you know, the kids have got to go to bed, and then they've probably got life admin to do and chores to do or whatever it is around the house. So the evening times are quite, you know, short for them, and they get the weekends. But I've always said that I'm going to be able to, like, Monday to Friday, I'm going to be able to get all my work done during the day and then pick my kids up from school and say, right, you know, up till bedtime, I'm 100% yours, you know what I mean? And I can spend that time with them and make up then, and just try not to burn out and never see them at the weekends. But I think that's the plus side to that, you know, working for yourself, is you can have more family time in that area.
Yeah, you're not the first person to give a positive answer to a negative question, so good work.
All right, Tim.
But no, I agree. I definitely agree with that side of things. Obviously, I've got two kids myself, but older than yours. But I tend to think that being around at those smaller times, you know, when they go to school, when they get home from school, being able to go to sports day or, you know, the Christmas performance without having to ask for time off work and all the rest of it, to me, balances out the fact that you're away for a number of weekends a year. And it's not every weekend of the year, is it, either? So I agree with you. Let's go back to talking about business. So when you, I mean, I obviously know you pretty well, but I would say, like, you enjoy the business side of wedding photography as much as you enjoy the photography side of wedding photography. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Even before, when you said, what's the thing I love about the life of being a wedding photographer, I was going to mention something else, but you sort of had a go at me for mentioning a second thing, so I didn't mention the third one. But yeah, one of the third things I was going to mention was the marketing side of it. And yeah, I absolutely love it. And I don't know whether you're going to ask this question or not anyway, but I think if I wasn't going to be a wedding photographer anymore, I think I'd love just to get into just to being a marketer. Like, I love, it's like, it's almost like a game, isn't it? Like, the whole thing, it's like you play the game by doing X, Y, and Z, and you get points or whatever by getting bookings or whatever it is. And I see it like a game, and it's like, it's fun to play.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway. I was going to bring that up because I've talked about it, like me feeling like it's a game and enjoying that side of it before on the podcast. Was that something that you knew before you started your own business, or is that something that's grown as you've had your own business?
Yeah, it's something I've grown just because I knew when, like, going back again, just the same when I was like leaving and starting my business up, that I thought, you know, I need this to work, you know, so like I need to work hard. So like, what do I need to learn? I need to learn how to work properly on Facebook, on Instagram, on my SEO, on just as many marketing streams as I can. So like, for me, it was like just testing all these different things and finding things that didn't work and how to improve them or how to push them to one side. Or I don't think I had any marketing skills before that. Being in the military, you don't really need any marketing skills really. So it was it was something that I never knew I had, but it was just something I picked up pretty quickly and just worked quite hard at.
Yeah, it's good. Because one of the things that I know you did early on, and you talked about it a bit when we did a Nine Dots Hangout a couple of years ago, is the fact that you got a lot of your early business, especially by doing a lot of free engagement shoots. And I think these days, a lot of people who come into the industry kind of hate the idea of doing free work, but you really advocate that kind of doing a lot of work to get yourself kind of into photography especially, but also into like a base of clients.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm not like not ashamed to like work for free as long as I can see an ROI on it, like down the line, then, you know, I'm a businessman and I'm happy to invest my time, you know. And you know, like most businesses will make investments that won't work. And, you know, I did a lot of those free engagement shoots, and, you know, a lot of people just took the photos and went, cheers, mate. And I was happy with that because I knew there's a lot of people that said, you know, how much do you charge for your weddings? And do you do weddings as well? And I was like, absolutely. Because when I went into the free engagement shoot thing, I wanted to make it all about value and no like hidden agenda. Like, all right, now you've got to book me for your wedding, or, you know, you've got to buy the files. I just thought I'm just going to give out loads of time for free and just work hard on that. And I don't know how accurate these stats are, but I think at one period I did like 24 pre-wedding shoots or engagement shoots. And I think about like 7 weddings, so that's a lot of free shoots for nothing. But now, a couple of years down the line, you know, those weddings that I did shoot have helped me create content for those venues and et cetera. And those brides have got me work since then. So the return sort of follows on really. And now, obviously, I don't do the free shoots anymore. But, you know, if the market came well, came to a standstill, it pretty much has. But you know what I mean? I think if it got so bad again that I needed to do it again, I would do. And that's how I got my first few destination weddings as well. Like, I just thought, I love the idea of travel and shooting destination weddings. So I think I just put in Facebook, if anyone's getting married abroad that anyone knows about, just tell them to message me. I might have something, an offer for them or whatever. And I just said, I think two people got back to me, and one of them was a friend of mine who I knew when I lived in Cyprus, and he was getting married in Greece. And I just said, like, if you just pay for my like flights, not even my accommodation, I think I said, just pay for my flights and I'll come and shoot the wedding for free on everything else. So I went to Greece for a few days and shot that. And then I did another one in Barcelona for expenses only. And then that was enough, I thought, just to create like a little bit of a, you know, destination buzz on my site. And it's helped me book more destination weddings, I think. So I get to shoot them now as well. So hopefully, you know, if other people are thinking about getting into destination weddings and they don't know how to, that could be a possibility if they're willing to, if they can afford to give up their time, you know, because, you know, time's quite a expensive commodity. So, you know, everyone's different and everyone's got different expenses and stuff. But yeah, it really, really worked for me doing that.
It's good. I think it's great. And I don't think there's any shame in working for free while you're building your business or building your portfolio. And I know a lot of the reason you did those free engagement shoots as well was to practice photography in those days. It wasn't purely business, was it?
I mean, the original thing was business, because I was like, so just like, you know, Gary Vee, hustle, business-minded, straight in at the deep end and stuff. And then, but that's what I was saying about 100 miles an hour. I probably wasn't, I wasn't thinking about, oh, this could improve my photography. I was just thinking about, like, just numbers, just like I need to shoot, like, you know, if I shoot 1,000 free engagement shoots, I'm going to book 50 weddings. You know what I mean? And that 50 weddings is incredible. Yeah. So that was my mindset. You know what I mean? But when I was like shooting them, it was nice to take a step back and think, learning how to use light better and work with couples better. Because one of the things like that puts me off about the whole wedding photography, and I still even get this now, is that, like, you know, when like you're shooting a couple and you're thinking, you listen to that little voice inside your head and it's going, the couple are feeling really awkward, Steve, you need to don't shoot them like this, mate. And then you're thinking, then the couple are thinking, why is he making a stand like this? What are we doing here? Like, you know, there's this voice in your head that's hard to ignore. And that doing all those pre-shoots, like, helped me train that voice to sort of just keep at bay. And he's not gone away for some reason. He still quite annoys me. Even like I shot a ceremony the other week and we just did like a little 5-minute portrait session outside the church. And he was back just going, these guys are feeling super awkward, Steve. You need to finish this up. And then I had to go, no. And working with this light, shut up. I need to get these pictures.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, I talk a lot about the voice in the head and you've got to shut him up. But he's bound to be back after a pandemic. I did a wedding a few weeks ago and mine was going, how long have you been away? Why have you forgotten how to use this camera? Are you sure you're still good at this? No, you got to shut the voice up. So quickly though, on the whole free engagement shoots thing, before we move on, you targeted that through Facebook ads, and that's how you got all those, you got a lot of business. It was just a targeted Facebook ad to your local area saying, do you want a free engagement shoot?
Yeah, well, they have I could talk all day about ads and Facebook ads and that. So it's something I got into quite early on when the Facebook ad thing first took off, and I invested a lot of time trying to sort of learn it and work with it and work with different things. So, you know, I could turn this whole podcast into a Facebook ad lesson. But yeah, in a nutshell, I created a leads form Facebook ad. So the couples would have to put in their information, but I put down which information I requested. So it was basically just like your name, partner's name, a telephone number, the wedding venue which you've booked, and how far in advance did you book your wedding photographer? And then I would then, after the ad finishes, or even during the ad, you can just download like a spreadsheet of all of the entries, and then you can see which ones have answered. So the ones that had answered, we booked our wedding photographer 8 months in advance or a year in advance, it was a no for them for the free shoot. And then if they, you know, and then I was looking at the wedding venues to see which wedding venues I'd like try and prefer, because I was getting like hundreds of people applying. And then I just handpicked the ones that I thought might be suitable. But, and I didn't overthink it in the sense that I just thought, like, I've told myself it's a numbers game. But I still needed to try and pick quality, because if I'd shot them all, I probably would have shot like, I don't know, 150 and still probably booked like 10. So, you know, I think I went through it with a bit of a more of a fine tooth comb, but I just wanted to get out there and just get shooting and just, you know, because I also thought, even if this couple aren't going to be my client or be able to afford me, or, you know, it turns out that they have actually got a wedding photographer or whatever, I thought, well, their friends might see the pictures, you know what I mean? And they might share them on social media and someone else might see them. So I forgot why we got back into this.
No, that's good. I was just asking what the like mechanics of getting all those and get free engagement shoots were, but you've answered it.
Yeah, that was it. It was just like, I just targeted like my area, because obviously I didn't want to be like driving all around the UK doing them. So I just targeted my area, just people who were couples that, you know, men and women that were engaged. I just created an ad for free engagement shoots, yeah.
Obviously, you mentioned hustle, and it's quite a key, it's quite a buzzword these days. Probably thanks to Gary Vaynerchuk, and obviously that was quite a hustle back in the day for you doing the free engagement shoots and things. So is the hustle over, or is there a new hustle? What's the hustle these days, or is it just a general hustle of kind of making sure you're always doing something?
Yeah, I always feel like it's probably not like a good quality to have, but sometimes I feel like if a nighttime, you know, I'm not like a freak, but like I love to like watch TV and stuff, and I don't panic about my business when I'm watching TV. But if I'm in a sort of semi-working mode, I love the marketing thing, like I've already said. So sometimes, you know, when you're watching TV just for the sake of it, just to chill out, and it's just nothing in particular, you're just like flicking through or watching telly, I'll always think to myself, I'd probably enjoy it more if I was in my office just doing some marketing, do you know what I mean? So like I'll just sit on the couch going, right, I'm going to go in the office and just do some work. And it's not because I'm like, I'm a workaholic or anything. I enjoy it. You know what I mean? So it's nice to be working all the time. And the business is only going to progress if you are working on the business. So, and it's something that I really want to do. Do you know what I mean? I want to provide for my family and take my kids away on like nice holidays and stuff. So I think, well, if I'm watching You've Been Framed, I'm less likely to happen doing this, isn't it? So I'd be better in the office spending 40 minutes working on something.
What an amazing TV show to reference. It's almost like we're back in the 90s.
Yeah,
I think when this whole idea of hustle came on the scene, it was quite a positive thing, wasn't it? It was really all about working hard and working smart and being passionate about building business. But then I think it became quite a negative thing, because it almost encourages people to overwork. So how do you balance that? I mean, I know you spend a lot of time with the family, but is that a conscious balance that you, because you, I know you are, I don't know many people like me who are quite as obsessed with work, but you are quite obsessed with work as well. And how do you strike the balance between, you know, work and having a life with your wife and your young kids?
Yes, yeah, it's a super good question, because just briefly going back to the whole how the hustle has got a negative effect. Like, a lot of people love wedding photography and they love their clients and they love editing photos, and even they enjoy some of the business side of things, but they might not like enjoy like content creation or marketing or, you know, responding to comments on Instagram or, you know, all the quote unquote hustle side of the business. But luckily for me, I love that. So it's easier for me just to say, you know, I'm going to spend the day just absolutely hustle on the business or the working on the website. Or so it's sort of easy for me to work out that balance, because I love it. So I can love that and then know when I can get plenty done. Cause even of a nighttime, I can just like spend an hour and a half doing it, which means the next day I'm not playing with my kids thinking, oh, you know, I'm supposed to be getting some work done so I can play with my kids and work. So the balance for me is easier just because I love both of those things. But I think the balance becomes tough for people when they don't enjoy the work side as much and it feels a bit more like work, and they're trying to work out how much time they should spend doing that and how much time they should be with the kids. But even during lockdown, like I've been on my computer and I've just thought, do you know what? I'm just going to go and be with the kids. It's quite spontaneous for me just to say, I'm never going to get this time back. I'm going to go. But I always know that I can just come back to the work because I love it. So I can just come and do it at any time. I mean, I don't think that's a very good answer, really. But
I think it is a good answer. For me, one of the things about working is making sure all the little things are always done. You know, all the admin, like making sure your emails are answered. And because if you let all the little things build up, you'll never really get the time or headspace to work on the bigger picture, longer game stuff, the marketing and all the rest of it. Because a lot of that is long game, and you kind of have to believe in it as being long game. So, you know, where some people might think sitting there for half an hour commenting on Instagrams or liking other Instagram posts or engaging in that community might just be pointless waste of time. It all goes into being part of a long game, doesn't it? And I know you really believe in the long game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you just said then about it was all like the like nitty gritty stuff or like the emails and stuff. And I think over like the last, it was only just 2 days ago where I actually said, oh, I need to do like a good solid, like half working day or a good working day. Because about the 7 days before that, I was just like going to the beach with the kids and just spending so much time with the family, which is great. And I actually let all of those like little important things build up only over like the course of like 7 days. But like I let a lot of that build up. Then I went to go and do some work and then it was all the important stuff. So like then like my quote unquote working day where I was going to hustle and, you know, work on the long game stuff. I spent most of it just catching up all like the little bits. And then those bits aren't necessarily business improvement thing, do you know what I mean? Those are just things that needed to be done, like whether it was like finalize an album design or send an email or send an invoice or do all those little emails. I think I had like loads of emails to do and I spent all the time doing that. And then I thought, right, I've my business hasn't actually moved forward in any way then. I've just spent like a good few hours working. So if I'd have kept on top of those other things, I could have spent that day on the business and making that move forward. But at the same time, and in hindsight, if I had been keeping up with all those little emails and bits and bobs, then maybe I wouldn't have gone to the beach and made those cool memories with the family, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It is a balancing act, isn't it? But you do seem to, from the outside looking in especially, have a reasonable work-life balance. When you sit and work and you talk about being in your office and working on something, are you quite focused or are you a bit of a procrastinator? And which side of the fence do you... People seem to fall on one side of the fence or the other.
Yeah, I am focused, but the problem I have sometimes is, and I told you, it goes back to the 100 mile an hour thing. I have like a to-do list and I just keep adding to it all the time. It gets longer than it gets shorter, annoyingly. But I'll like start something and then I'll be like halfway through doing a task and then I'll be like, oh yeah, and I'll see something that will remind me of something else. And I thought I'll do that and then end up like halfway through loads of tasks. Do you know what I mean? And nothing ever gets done. I mean, it does eventually, but in more of an annoying way where, you know, but sometimes I'll have days where I'll just focus on that one task and get it completed. And then on my to-do list with like 20 things, I'll get like 3 things done. And I will feel better for it doing it that way than spending a full day in the office and not actually ticking anything off my list. So not a procrastinator, but sometimes I just sort of end up like multitasking.
Yeah. But still, I mean, I think getting tasks finished is the best feeling.
Yeah,
game that we're talking about, the business game, finishing a task for me is when you get the points. Otherwise, you're never going to get any points. But what was I going to say? Oh yeah, to-do lists. So are we talking old school paper or do you use some kind of app?
Yeah, old school paper for me. I've tried doing it on apps and stuff and there's a really good, the closest thing that came to a really good one for me was one called Trello. And that creates multiple to-do lists, but all on one screen on the desktop. And if you save I actually had the tab saved on my Safari. So it was always the top left tab. And then you could have like a marketing to-do list, a personal to-do list, a content to-do list or whatever. And then you could tick things off. But for me, like what my sort of to-do list tip would be, I write all the things that I want to do. And I don't care if it's like send this email to Kevin Jenny, like they need this email doing something as basic as that, even though it only takes 2 seconds to send an email, for example, to something long-winded, like even if it was like something really big. I don't have my to-do list with me, but if it was like interview a wedding supplier down in London or something like that, which takes a lot more work, correspondence to get it all done. You can't just tick that off. But I would literally just list everything that came into my head. And I'm always adding to it every time I think of something. And then I go through that list and number them 1, 2, and 3. So if it's a 1, it needs doing in the next 24 to 48 hours, like definitely. And then I have another one. Number 2 is needs doing in the next 7 days. And then number 3 is, you know, within 30 to 60 days. So it does need doing, but it's not as of importance. And then just start hammering the number 1s and then just ticking them off. And then, you know, then move on to the number 2s. But the problem you have then is before you finish the number 1s, you know, more number 1s end up sneaking their way in there. So you almost never finish the number ones. But then as soon as the to-do list starts looking a bit messy, I just make a brand new one. So just turn the page and then just write down all the things that haven't been done and then number them again, 1 to 3.
It's bad if you can never finish your number ones, though. You should go to doctors for that. But I think the greatest productivity tip of all time is just to write down what you need to do, just to have it written down. Because I think the one reason that maybe people don't get their work done or feel overwhelmed is because they try and keep it all in their heads. And then next thing they'll get an email from a client about something they forgot about. And next thing they'll have to, you know, speak to this weekend's clients about the wedding, or next thing they'll have to, you know, they've forgotten. That's why they haven't blogged anything in the last year or whatever it might be. Like just having a to-do list, whether you use Trello or whether you use something else, or whether you write it on paper, old school, like you're doing.
Yeah.
Like finding the way that works for you and writing down what you need and want to do. Because that's important. What you're saying is sometimes you'll just think, oh, it'd be cool to do this. Whether, you know, it might be something that's totally not pointless, but you know what I mean? It might just be to update a picture on that page of your website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's never going to change the world, but it's just something you want to do. And just writing it down, I think you're a million times more likely to get it done. There's not many people who are good at storing to-do lists in their head. So yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, I prefer it on paper, but like if I'm out and about, I don't want that to deter me. Like I've got a notes page on my iPhone. But if I'm out and about and I think, oh, I want to do this or this isn't, even if it's like a, I don't know, to exaggerate, make a number four, category four on the list is something I want to do in the next 12 months. And I'll just put it in there and then it'll build up over like a day or two or a couple of days. And then I'll just, when I've got my actual physical notebook out, I'll transfer those over and just write them in.
Yeah.
And then the good thing about the whole moving it onto the new page is once I'm working through a notebook, a page, and I'm ticking stuff off, or I use a highlighter to highlight them off, when I move all of the other tasks, all of the unfinished tasks onto the next page, I'm writing them down again, if you know what I mean. So like they're always in my mind. So like after like the 10th page, I'm like, do you know what? I'm sick of writing that down. Like I really want to do that. So I'm going to move that up to a number one, you know?
I mean, there's a psychological reason why you have to do lines at school. And it's that's the reason.
You've told me I've just given myself business lines.
Yeah, you have. But it's the same psychological effect, isn't it? Like you're much more likely to remember it if you've done that, especially, you know, if you've written it a number of times. But no, that's great tips. And thanks for telling us about your number ones and number twos. It's been fun. last question before we finish is, and it's maybe a little bit of a big one, but just one thing would be great. So obviously 2020 has been a write-off in a lot of ways. If you knew, for instance, back in 2017, when you were just kind of starting out, if somebody had come to you, if Michael J. Fox had turned up at that point and said, Steve, 2020 is going to be a horrendous year. It's going to be written off. It's going to be a pandemic. You're not going to be able to work. What do you think you'd have changed? And you can answer business, life, whatever. What do you think you'd have changed in the years between then and now to be more ready for the way this year turned out?
As wedding photographers, we've been hit pretty hard, haven't we? Like, well, a lot of the wedding industry and hospitality and all that's been hit pretty hard. So I don't know, it'd be good to have had, like I've already mentioned, like I love to hustle and I love working hard. And I believe my business has come a long way in a relatively shorter period of time. And I think if I could use some of that, all that hard work that I put in over the years into something else, even just 20% of it into another business, which was maybe, I don't know, e-commerce or something online, which hasn't been affected by the pandemic.
You'd have been distilling hand sanitizer, wouldn't you, for 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just give me the lottery numbers would be the easy answer. But I know what you mean. I just try and create something a bit more dynamic, because, you know, it's quite one-dimensional, isn't it, this whole wedding industry? And sometimes I think to myself, like, what if people just like one day just said, you know, weddings aren't a thing anymore? I mean, I'd like to think that maybe one day that could happen, but I don't think it'd happen in our lifetimes. But, you know, people evolve and times are different now than they were, you know, 150 years ago. So who knows what's going to happen? But sometimes I do think to myself, you know, where's it going to go? So maybe having a bit more of a dynamic range in your business wouldn't be such a bad thing.
No, totally, man. And that's a good answer. But you know, thanks for the answer. And thanks for chatting to me for the Dotcast. It's been good to talk to you. And you'd have a lot of what we like to call golden nuggets. And I think there's been plenty in there. So yeah, good luck with everything. And I'll see you on the tennis court.
I was just about to say, I can't believe we've gone through this whole conversation without mentioning tennis once. I think people will be expecting us to be just 30, 40 minutes of tennis talk.
Yeah, I'm not sure that many people follow our careers.
Speak for yourself, mate.
See you soon, dude.
See you later, mate. Good chat.
All right, hit it.
Thanks again to Steve Walker for this episode. You can see more of Steve's work at stevewalkerphotography.com or search him on Instagram. You can listen to previous episodes of the Dotcast anywhere you normally listen to podcasts. And to find out more about 9Dots or to become a member, head over to 9-dots.co. See you on the next one.